Leading off with a big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now?
What a fun time of year this is in general, but the other layer that gets stacked on top is when you have the Colorado Buffaloes, both men's and women's, in the NCAA tournament for the first time.
Yes, sir.
In over a decade, your Buffs, Phil.
I love it.
And kind enough to spend some time with us, and we won't keep them long. It is Tad Boyle, the head men's basketball coach for the Colorado Buffaloes. Coach, thank you so much for your time for us back here in Denver. I guess I'll just start with asking you, man, I'm going to raise my hand, Coach. I thought big picture NCAA tournament, I thought you guys were dead in the water during the middle of the season when you guys had lost 4 or 5 games. But something happened, and you guys finished the year on a ferocious stretch. What led to this turnaround that had you winning 8 in a row down the stretch?
Let me first say, Zach, that's on you, man. I can never lose faith in the Buffs. I can tell you that.
It is. I raise my hand.
And I got to say this. I'm on with my absolute one of my two favorite running backs in Colorado football history, Eric Bieniemy, is Philip Lindsay. He's my guy. So
yes, sir.
Philip, I hope you know how I feel about you, man.
I do.
You were one of all time best, man. I love watching you run the ball, and you had the heart of a champion. So
thank you, Coach.
Great to be with you guys. But yeah. Guys, look, as I look back, and it's, you know, it's easy to say now, but that trip to LA that we made, you know, middle of the conference, actually about 2/3 of the way through the league, and we lose a really, really heartbreaking game to UCLA, and we're at Pauley Pavilion, and in that locker room, I mean, it was as dead as it could be, because our guys, we fought our tails off. I mean, really competed and lost to a good UCLA team that we felt like we should have beaten. And then, you know, 2 days later, we go to SC and we're down 16 in the second half and somehow find a way to scratch and claw back and win a game in double overtime from down 16. And then, and to see that locker room and the joy and the happiness that we felt together and the sense of accomplishment. And then we just got on a run. You know, we didn't lose again until the other night in Vegas in the conference, you know, championship, and we reel off 8 in a row and win 8 of 9. And that game at SC after that tough UCLA loss was definitely the key.
Coach, now, great coaches have to make hard decisions at times, man. And Cody Williams coming off the bench, you made that decision. What went into it?
Yeah, well, you know, Philip, he's had a rough year. Cody is as talented as a young man as you're gonna see. I mean, he's got a great, great future ahead of him as a pro, and he's had 3 different injuries this year where it just was like it's been kind of a stop and go year for him.
Yeah,
and all 3 of the injuries, you know, made him caused him to lose multiple games, and so we were really, really playing well. You know, when he came back after this last ankle injury, and plus he'd only practiced like once or twice, and so his conditioning was not where it needed to be. He's playing about 30 minutes a game, you know, when he went down, and just felt like the way we're playing, we had things kind of moving, and he was still going to play. But I told him, I said, you know, wait, when you come back, I said, I'm going to bring you off the bench, and you know, he's fine with it. He's such a team guy.
Yeah.
It just was one of those things that, you know, I thought about, and staff had talked about it, and he's still going to play. And in his minutes, you know, I think he played 19 the other night, so he's working himself back into shape, and Luke O'Brien's done a great job in his you know, in his place, and you know, our rotation's pretty narrow. We don't play a lot of guys, but the minutes that those guys off the bench come in and do give us are critical. And Cody's probably the most.
Yes, sir.
We're talking with Tad Boyle, head men's basketball coach for the CU Buffs, the all-time wins leader. They're in the NCAA tournament. They play tomorrow night. Coach, you had a fascinating quote, and I think it was after the loss on Saturday night in Las Vegas, when you said, before you find players you can win with, you have to find players you could lose with. And I've been around the game of basketball my whole life. I can't remember hearing that quote What went into that? And is there a moment where you did find out the answer to that question with this group of guys?
Well, you know, I was sitting up at the podium, and I had Tristan Da Silva to my left. Tristan Da Silva to my left, who's a senior, been here for 4 years. At KJ Simpson, who's been our heart and soul this year in terms of his play at the point guard position. And he's, you know, been here for 3 years, and I just felt like, you know, our guys were as devastated in Las Vegas, you know, the other night, as we've had been all year, not winning that championship. We went to Las Vegas to win a Pac-12 championship, and it was the last one. You guys remember when we came in the league, you know, back in 2011, 2012, and we won the first Pac-12 championship. And here it is, the last year in the league, and we had an opportunity to do the same thing, and we didn't get it done. And I just wanted those guys to know, and I wanted, you know, our fan base to know. I really believe that. I think you got to find guys you're willing to lose, because I'd go to war, you know, again, with Tristan Da Silva and KJ Simpson every single night. When you're a coach and you lose, and you're losing with guys that you don't believe in, you know, or you're like, well, you know, when they play good, we win and everybody's happy. And then when we play bad, you know, we lose, and you feel awful because, you know, you just don't believe in them. You got to believe in the guys, win or lose. And that's how I feel about this team in general. But I wanted those two guys to know that. And it just hit me. You know, I read that once. There's an old basketball coach named Dick Bennett, whose son Tony Bennett is now the head coach at Virginia. And he said it one time, and it hit me right between the eyes. I've never thought of that before, and it's always stuck with me.
I like it, Coach. I like it. This is the last one, and we will let you go. All right, what are you guys up against versus the Boise State? What were they, the Broncos?
Broncos, yeah, tomorrow night.
Yeah, Boise State. We played them a year ago, guys. We were in the tournament in November in South Carolina, and they beat us. Now Javon Hadley did not play in that game. Tristan Da Silva played in about a third of it, I think. He came down with a migraine headache and didn't play, you know, the last half. They are a tough-minded, well-coached team. Their coach, Leon Rice, is a good friend of mine. He's been there 14 years. He got the job in Boise just when I got the job in Boulder. And we're in for a battle because they're tough-minded kids that play hard. They play the right way. It's interesting. I think individually, if you went player by player, you know, I feel like we have more talent than they do.
Yeah.
But collectively, they play so much better as a unit, and they're better collectively than they are individually. So we have to understand that we can't look at them. We can't, you know, their record is the same as our record. And, but they're a tough minded group. They beat us on the boards. They played tougher than us a year ago when we lost to them in South Carolina. So, we have to understand that, and our guys do, and we'll be ready. I promise you.
Well, we can't wait, Coach, and there's so much on the line, but in addition to everything that truly matters, if you guys find a way to win tomorrow night, you guys will have won the most games in any single season in the history of the program, and we are rooting like crazy for you back here in Denver. We thank you so much for your time leading up to tip-off tomorrow, and the very best of luck.
Good luck, Coach.
No, I appreciate it, guys. That means a lot, and you're right. We got a chance to make history for Colorado basketball tomorrow night, and that's what we plan to do.
I can't wait. Thanks, Coach.
Okay.
All right, there he goes. Tad Boyle, head men's basketball coach for the Colorado Buffaloes, 24-win season. He's done that. He's the only coach to ever do it. He actually did it in his first season back in Boulder in 2010-11. And I think they're still playing. They're still in the Big 12 at that point, and have a 24-win season this year. No one's ever won 25. What an opportunity on the national stage tomorrow night.
It's going to get rumbling.
It is, man. It is. Really appreciate Coach for making some time for us. Yeah. They're so busy with all the obligations they have through the NCAA and practices and game prep and stuff. So I don't think they would have said yes if it wasn't you. So and you hear him pretty cool right out of the gate. Have some really nice words for you.
Yeah. Coach Tad, he's a great coach, a great man. I always had respect for him. He was always one that would come up to me and critique me the most.
Really?
Yeah. So I love him for that. And like I said, great coach.
Yeah, he's they're having a great season. I did, and I have to raise my hand. He said that that's on you. I thought they were dead in the water. I really did. I thought they were dead in the water when they lost 4 of 5. And they got drilled by Arizona. They got beat by Utah. They lost at Washington State. And, you know, they lose at UCLA. They were probably one more loss away from not having a tournament resume. And then all they proceeded to do was win that double OT, come
from
behind.
We like to keep things a little exciting, Zach. I know you like to just beat up on everybody, but we like to give a show.
Hey, I'm just being honest, man. I'm just being real. I thought they were dead. And they're down 16. They come back and beat USC on the road.
That's what sparked them.
Yep. They go to overtime. It's tied at the end of overtime. Yeah. They go to double overtime. They win 92-89. And from that point forward, don't forget, it was KJ Simpson who was returning to California. Yeah. Went crazy that game, scored 30. And then they didn't lose again until the Pac-12 title game. So good for them, man. Yeah. Persevere, battle tested. And I think they're
That's
going
what you've
to
talked about.
I think they're gonna win tomorrow night, Phil. I do.
Let's go.
I do. Well, it's that time of year again. You already know you're getting ready to fill out your bracket. The good news for you is that you have a chance to win $5,000 if you have that winning bracket. Does not cost anything to enter. So head to denversports.com/hoops to sign up for our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. Entry closes before tip-off on March 21st. That is Thursday. So fill out that bracket. And also on Thursday, you can join me and Phil at Stoney's Downtown off 11th and Lincoln to watch some college hoops. We'll be there live from 2 to 6 for the first big day of the tournament. And we'll be there. You want to take a picture of Phil, have him sign something. He's great about that stuff, and you can say hello to me as well. We're going to be there 2 to 6 at Stoney's Downtown. I got news for you. The Buffs are winning tomorrow night. The Buffaloes are winning.
I like it. Confident.
I believe the Buffaloes are going to win tomorrow night.
I believe so. Why, though?
Because this time of year, it's not about your
record.
It's not about your resume and record.
Yeah.
It's about who you are right now. And teams evolve during the season. I mean, look at the Broncos. Who they were in September is just not who they were in November.
Yeah.
It looked like two different teams. They look like a different team this last, call it, about a month. And, you know, it wasn't perfect, but they started off so well. Yeah. And they're the 18th ranked team in the country. Yeah. Then they really fall on hard times. They lose 4 or 5. But since then, I just see a change, and I think it's a better fit for Cody Williams, a freshman coming off the bench.
Yeah, I like that one right there. Coach Tad did a great job with that one.
Yeah, and they've been better defensively and rebounding, and that's typically the identity of Tad's teams, and I think they're getting back to that a little bit. Lower scoring games. I mean, they're winning 72-58, 58-52, 73-57. They're not scoring in the 90s. I mean, they were trying to get into the 90s earlier in the season, but I think they've reverted back to the identity of the program, and for those reasons is why I think they'll win tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think it becomes a team effort. Coach Tad already said it with the Boise State Broncos is they're going to play collectively as a group. They're better as a group. For the Colorado Buffaloes men, that's what they have to play. They have to play together. It's not a one-man show. All right, when you start to be a one-man band, it doesn't work out in Tad's offense and in Tad's system. It's always been like that. I think that's why Cody Williams coming off the bench has helped out, because now Cody can do a little bit of his own thing while he's on, you know, coming off the bench as if he has to play as a team, all together.
Yeah, can't wait.
It's exciting, man.
I can't wait. Then we got CSU tonight. They are facing Virginia, and you just heard Tad Boyle, who just joined us, reference Tony Bennett, and he got that quote, before you find players you can win with, you need to find players you can lose with, which he said when he heard that quote, it hit him right between the eyes. I felt the same way. I mean, I was like, wow, I've never heard that, and the explanation does make so much sense, but he got that quote from Dick Bennett, who's the father of Tony Bennett, who coaches at Virginia, who will play the Colorado State Rams tonight.
That's crazy.
It really is, like, tied all together, man. I love stuff like that. So here we go, man. You got the Rams in Virginia. Now, that's a former national champion now in Virginia.
That is. I think you need to tell your listeners at some point, you know, about Virginia. Well, because I didn't know about that. You know, I know that they got upset. But I don't. I didn't know like the history and the build up towards that whole situation. And hopefully the Rams can go out there and beat up on Virginia.
That'd be fantastic. I think it's going to be a great game tonight. But what you're referencing, you were in the NFL at the time. Yeah. And I'm doing this job here at the Fan, and we watched Virginia be the first team ever. I mean, this never, ever, ever happened. There was no precedent. They lost. And it was so fascinating because for 6 years, I was the voice of the University at Albany basketball program.
Yep.
And they played in this conference called the America East. And in the America East is this team, UMBC. And I remember watching these young players from UMBC in 2015, 2016, like they were onto something. I get the job here in 2017. I think it was the next year where Virginia, as the number one overall seed, gets beat by UMBC. And they didn't just get beat, they got pounded. UMBC covered the spread that was meant for Virginia. And it was a lot of the guys I was familiar with. I'm like, I remember that kid as a sophomore. Now he's a senior and this and that. So it was a cool tie-in. But it was just it was the most humiliating loss in the history of the NCAA tournament. And it's like you're on a fork in the road. And that group, and you credit that group because it's one of the most fascinating sports arcs of all time. Tony Bennett and that same group took it on the chin. They were mocked.
Oh, yeah.
And all they did is pick themselves up by the bootstraps and went and won a national championship with a lot of the same players that lost. And even though it's not that version of Virginia that the CSU Rams will get tonight, proceed with caution.
Yes.
That is a real coach and a real program.
You've been talking about that a lot.
All right, let's shift gears here. Can't wait tonight. We'll talk more CU hoops tomorrow. Huge thank you to Tad Boyle for joining us. But we have smoke being connected. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire, they say. We have momentum building between a Broncos, the Broncos and a quarterback. And it's Bo Nix.
Mm. Not your boy JJ, huh?
Not my boy JJ. No. Mel Kiper released his post-free agency mock draft earlier today, and he's got the Broncos picking the fifth quarterback off the board at number 12, and it's Bo Nix. In addition to that, FanDuel has the odds out for who's going to be picking these quarterbacks. The Broncos are now the odds-on favorite to take Bo Nix with the 12th overall pick. It's one of these things where you can connect the dots, you can look at draft boards, where the Broncos are picking, and it just feels like there's momentum building here.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Zach, if it is Bo Nix, then it's time to ride out with Bo Nix and see where this journey is heading us, heading for us. With that being said, I think it is a lot of smoke, and they may want some other quarterback. I'm still going to be on Michael Penix Jr., Zach. I truly think that Sean likes Michael Penix Jr.
You do.
I think that he brings something to the table that Sean likes. And I keep on bringing back, you know, when he was at the combine and asking him those questions and the questions were hard, there's a reason to that. There's a reason why he's being asked these questions. And Michael Penix Jr. is one that you're going to have to watch out for here as the draft becomes, you know, close, because it's going to be one that the names that may ends up popping back up.
Well, if that's the case, and if that turns out to be true, that Sean Payton is in love with Michael Penix Jr., well, that's just a rare intersection of where the Broncos are picking, who he happens to love, and the fact that that guy will be available if that all turns out to be true. And if it is, dude, Phil, I'm ready. I'll be on board.
Yeah.
I loved watching Michael Penix Jr. play this past year and the previous year. He was damn good. Let's not forget that. Last year he was good in 2022. It's just the medical scare me. But outside of that, when it came to the play, man, he is. You want a guy who plays out of the pocket? Michael Penix Jr. plays within the pocket, and he is much like Brady in a sense where, and forgive me for using the name Tom Brady and a guy who's never. But I'm saying it for a meaning that Brady was not mobile, as in running outside of the pocket.
For sure.
But that man was so elusive and mobile within the pocket, knowing exactly when to step aside, step up. And Michael Penix Jr., I think, has that quality as well.
Now, for Bo Nix, right? Sean Payton, if Sean Payton decides to go with Bo Nix, what is he seeing in Bo Nix that kind of alerts to him that he could be, I keep saying he could be the franchise quarterback, because that's what we're going for, right? If we draft this quarterback in the 12th pick or the first round, which I think that you can get Bo Nix in the second round probably, or lower first round, what are we getting from him? A lot of dump downs, you know, is he able to control the game? Is that what he's seeing? Is that what Sean's seeing from someone like Bo Nix, an older quarterback that understands right away that he can come in and produce, but also understands that he can utilize the tight end, the running back? Like, that's my whole thing on it. What are you thinking?
My guess is it's the processing and quick decision. And that's just my guess, is that when you hear these guys who really do this for a living, and when I say doing it for a living, I'm not talking about talking on the radio about sports. I'm talking about, like, their career is scouting.
Yeah.
And they talk about the quick processing for Bo Nix. That's a common theme you hear. And you hear Sean Payton about the qualities that he's looking for. Processing is right near the top of the list. But, Bo Nix is it. I just, when I think of a first round talent,
yeah,
Bo Nix doesn't strike me as a first round talent, but maybe in Sean's system, if you're just cut out for the system, it's not about just the raw ability that would be showcased at a pro day or a combine, but you have to trust Sean here. You legitimately have to trust Sean Payton.
Bo Nix, man. The thing with this is Bo Nix going to have the opportunity to battle for the starting job? Or bringing in Bo Nix means Jarrett Stidham's going to be the starter the whole entire year? Because that's kind of what I'm getting the feeling of, is Sean thinks that, you know, Sparky, Jarrett Stidham, is better than what we think. And he's willing to ride with Jarrett Stidham the whole entire year and let Bo Nix kind of be that guy to watch out for and to watch and kind of groom up, because Sean does not like rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah, we've never seen him play a rookie if he ever had an option to outside of the COVID game with Ian Book. There's no instances of him playing a rookie. But my thing with Bo Nix specifically, if you draft him in the first round, I want to see that guy.
Yeah.
He's already older. Like, he's already 24 years old. Is his first year playing going to be at 25? So I think that goes into it. And if you draft Bo Nix, you must like the experience. I mean, the guy has played a bunch of college football. We're talking about he has passed the ball almost 2,000 times at the college level. So if he's got that much experience, I want to see that guy in year one.
Yeah.
You want to start with Jarrett Stidham for the first month? That's fine. But I want to see the lion's share of this season. If it's Bo Nix, I want to see Bo Nix play.
I agree with you. I mean, if you want people to give you grace, then you got to start, or you have to put in the rookie quarterback at some point earlier than later. And so with that, he needs to put Bo Nix in there. If it's going to be Bo Nix, let's develop him. Let him take his bumps and bruises now. This is what this year is for, right? Where people are saying it's a rebuild, then go with that young rookie quarterback to help rebuild it so he can get those battle scars, so these next couple years after that, we start to see what he can be after being in the NFL for a year.
Yeah. And just expect a bumpy road.
Oh, it's going
to
be bumpy.
If that's what it turns out to be, just expect a bumpy road, and he'll learn from it, or he won't. But we'll start to figure out, does this guy have something if it does turn out to be Bo Nix in that rookie year? Do you see the Vikings are holding that private workout for J.J. McCarthy next week?
I did see that. Man. And the Commanders. The Commanders are going to have a date night with old J.J.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He's going in the top four picks.
Crazy, man. It's crazy how things develop.
If the Commanders or Patriots don't take him, I think the Vikings are moving up to the fourth overall pick and taking J.J. McCarthy. He's blown up, man. He's blown up.
Yeah, he has.
How about this? I'm sure you saw this tweet. I'm almost certain you did, because it was going crazy, and we had it in our show DMs. I heard Mike talk about it this morning. This is the real risk of going down this road of a rookie quarterback, drafting a quarterback. From 2021 and 2022, so you got two draft classes, there were 19 total quarterbacks taken in the draft. 19 over the course of two drafts. Only two of those 19 are expected to start week one. And that's Trevor Lawrence, who was the first pick in 2021, and it's Brock Purdy, who was the last pick in 2022. This is not like 5-6 years after they were drafted.
Yeah.
This is the 2021 and 2022 class. Just two expected starters out of 19.
That's the issue. That's the issue in the league, man. And what that's saying is we're not giving these players, these young quarterbacks, enough time to develop. That's what it's telling me. because, Zach, you can't expect these kids to come in the first 2 years and just blow the roof off the house, right? Some can. A lot of it takes time to develop, especially if you have a system like Sean's supposed to have.
Right.
Where it's going to take you 2-3 years to really understand what Sean wants done. And then you got to put the talent around that quarterback so that he feels comfortable and they all can get on the same page.
Fascinating time. We don't have to wait long. We're already mid-March here. I mean, we're in the back half of March. About a month from now, the NFL draft is going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating from a Broncos perspective. It's absolutely fascinating. Okay. The Avalanche will try to pull off something tonight they haven't done all year. Also, wait until you hear how confident one sports gambler is on the CSU Rams tonight. Details next. All right, let's come off the top rope with it. One. Tonight, the Colorado Avalanche have a chance to do something that they haven't done all season long. And believe it or not, there's actually a couple things. One, they can win 4 consecutive road games in a row. They've done, I think in the very start of the year, they won like 3 in a row, came back home, and then won their first. So they've won 4 in a row, but not like in consecutive order. This is a 4-game road trip. They have a chance to sweep it against the St. Louis Blues. And also,
that feels good to hear.
Oh, heck yeah.
You know, last time we had a long road trip, we were like 1-5.
Yeah, it was pretty painful. Yes, yes. It was 1-5 on that 6-game roadie back east. It was like the Capitals, the Rangers.
That was a disaster, man.
Yeah. That was like kind of like the low point, I think, of the season.
It really was.
There's no Val, and it was like, you know, it was painful. The vibes were definitely off. Now you look, it's like they have a chance tonight to win 7 games in a row. Yeah. They actually have not done that all season long.
With Val being back, the newcomers, okay, Sean Walker, Casey Mittelstadt, like it's like a breath of fresh air, you know, and they're rolling, man. Everybody knows their role, knows their place, and they're playing really, really good hockey.
They are. It sounds like Anunin is going to start tonight. That's I'm curious, man. That's like another layer of curiosity. In addition to keep watching the new guys and the great fits that they've been, in addition to Val still kind of getting back into the full swing of things. Yeah, Anunin has been pretty damn good lately, so I'm curious.
Yeah, sometimes better than Georgiev at times. So I like it. I like seeing Anunin back in there. I want to see what he does now because I feel like they are in a competition with each other. Now, not necessarily with the coaching staff and being that, you know, Anunin wants to be the number one goalie thing, but they want to do, you know, both of them want to do well. They're pushing each other. They're competing against each other. So hopefully we'll see what Anunin does tonight.
All right, we're fixing to find out.
1, 2.
Okay, Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions, along with Netflix, is launching a new show from the producers of Quarterback, which I found fascinating.
Yeah.
They are launching Receiver and will follow the seasons of Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I like it. It's going to be exciting, man. It's Receivers, the drama queens.
Yes, true.
Look at Stokes.
True, sure.
Every time he's always crying.
About something. One thing or another. This is fascinating. This is like, you know, we as just fans, and you live the life of an NFL player, but we always want just a peek behind the curtain. What's it actually like? What's it like when they go home?
Yeah.
You know, what does treatment look like? What is it? And I can't get enough of this stuff.
No, that's why I loved Hard Knocks. You got to see what really goes down in the facilities, in the organization. Now we get to see these players and what they're doing to get themselves ready for an NFL game, an NFL practice. And these young kids are going to love this because all of them are their idols, like Justin Jefferson. They want to see what they're doing to become Justin Jefferson. What are they eating? How are they acting? You know, so that's going to be something that to watch out for. Plus, Kirk Cousins was a fan favorite after watching that Quarterback documentary.
Yes. So, I raised my hand. I mean, I was already kind of like a Kirk Cousins truther, but that had just to do with football. Like, I thought the guy could play, and I know he, you know, everyone cited the primetime record and stuff like that. But then you get to see the person. It's like, how can you not root for that guy?
For sure.
How can you not root for that guy? Who are you most interested to watch of Davante Adams, Justin Jefferson, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, and Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Oh, I think each one has a different style to them and a lifestyle at that. Which one's going to be the wildest? I might have to watch George Kittle. His is going to be the wildest. The one that's going to probably be mild tone and more like calm, probably Davante Adams.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. I don't know, you know, I don't know much about Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
I mean, I know where he played. I know his all his stats, one-handed grabs.
The gritty.
Got the grill. But it's like, who actually are you?
Yeah.
And because I know the least about him compared to how big of a star he is in that sport, I think I'm most fascinated by Justin Jefferson. But we'll see, man. I'm going to watch it. We'll consume it. We'll talk about it. Looking forward to it.
One, two, three!
So tonight, got the kickoff of the NCAA tournament. All right, it's Tony Bennett and his Virginia Cavaliers against Nico Medved and the Colorado State Rams.
All right, let's go. Let's go.
All right, here is Nico Medved talking about Virginia and who they are as a team.
Tony and Virginia, they're one of the best, if not the best, defensive coach team in the country. They're going to play one of the slowest tempos in the country. They're going to make you guard for long periods of time, and so you're going to have to be tough-minded.
And that's for damn sure. If you watch Virginia basketball, not just this year, but they don't care. They'll try to win 50-49. They don't care about scoring big points. They have this pack line defense. They'll walk the ball up the court. You know what the total on the game is tonight? You guys see this? It's 120.5. So like they're anticipating like 61-60. Like it's
an ugly one. It's an ugly one.
It's gonna be a rock fight. It's gonna be like Miami Heat. Like just prepare for it. But one better in Arizona. One Arizona better has waged $46,000 on Colorado State to cover a 2-point spread. So they got to win by three. Yeah, we put $46,000 on it.
You know, I like CSU for this game. If CSU can catch fire from the 3-point line, then I think they can run away with it because Virginia is not a good, you know, a good team when it comes to the offensive side. But with that being said, CSU's going to have to play defense. It's going to have to be, you know, get down and dirty as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think the best player on the floor is Isaiah Stevens. And I think that could be the difference of just like a creator, a shot maker, a guy who has played like 150 games in college. He's built for this moment. And I think that could be the difference.
But yet he cannot get his jersey retired, huh?
This is a separate shot at Stokely and Josh. Yeah.
I'm tired of them.
2,000-point scorer, all-time assister, all-time leading scorer, most games ever won. He deserves his jersey up there, and he will.
Yeah.
Especially after tonight. He's got an opportunity to truly make a name for himself on the national stage. All right, speaking of which, Colorado State has the honors of getting the madness started. What do you need to know before tip-off? We'll talk to someone who may know them best. Coming up next. They're in the NCAA tournament. They're going to be on national TV tonight. They lose, season's over. If they win, they take a step up into one of the busiest days in American sports. That is the true kickoff of March Madness, which is on Thursday. We are going to be at Stoney's downtown off 11th and Lincoln to watch some hoops, Philip, Lindsay, and I from 2 to 6. So if you want to come down and say hello to us and take in the games and maybe listen to us at the same time, cannot wait for Thursday. But tonight, man, tonight, I am so looking forward to this. It's Colorado State. They're playing Virginia, a former national champion, a legendary coach. And Kevin Lytle from the Coloradan joins us. Let me ask you this, Kevin. You know, a lot of our listeners, they're not like in the trenches with CSU basketball, but you are. So who is Colorado State for someone who will watch them for the first time tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a team that, one, is generally pretty entertaining to watch. Player, you know, really fluid, quick ball movement, you know, passing, cutting, you know, motion type offense. And they have just a pillar player in Isaiah Stevens, who this is now his fifth year with the COVID year. For my money, he's the best player in Colorado State men's basketball history. He's just a wizard with the ball. He'll make some passes that you kind of sit there and go, oh, how on earth did he even see that guy? So just a fun guy to watch. Fun, you know, when this team is clicking, they're entertaining to watch. And, you know, it's sort of your old school, if you will, build of a program where it's, you know, sort of a slow cooker build. You bring, bring in some guys, recruit them, develop them, sprinkle in with the transfer portal. And, you know, in 6 years under Nico Medved, it's gone from, you know, kind of a broken program to, obviously, the NCAA tournament. So generally a pretty entertaining team to watch.
Well, Kevin, man, we've been having some fun with Isaiah Stevens here in the, you know, at the station. Will he have his jersey retired at the end of all this?
Yeah, that's one of the big, probably really since last summer, fans really started talking about that and pushing it. And it's become really a key discussion point amongst the fan base that, you know, they kind of demand that the number four hangs up in the rafters there. There's only one men's basketball program or number retired in program history, Bill Green from a while back. So there's a big push for Isaiah to be next. And, you know, CSU hasn't really said anything. They're going through an administration change, obviously, with Joe Parker out as athletic director. So, you know, what's next will play a say in that. But if I had to guess, I think that's going to happen sometime.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it should happen, Kevin. I mean, the guy's the all-time leading scorer, all-time assister, won the most games. He's back in the NCAA tournament. I mean, what more could this guy have done?
Not much more you could ask for, right?
right.
Crazy.
But believe it or not, there is some discourse about it. But let me ask you this, and this might be a morbid question, all right, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Nico Medved has done a great job with a capital G with this program. Is there any fear that if they win a game, maybe two, that he could leave Fort Collins for another job next season?
Yeah, I don't think that's even morbid. I think that's a fair, you know, realistic question. That's kind of the world of college sports. And, yeah, I think there's a lot of fear that that could happen, you know, whether tonight is the end of the season or whether that, you know, the season ends, you know, in 2 weeks or whatever. I think there's definite fear that that could happen. Basically, every high major job that's opened, you've seen his name pop up amongst, you know, some national folks saying, you know, here are some of the possibilities, and Nico Medved's in that group. So I think it's an absolutely realistic question and thing to wonder about and possibility. I also wouldn't say it's a, not to use a basketball pun, but I wouldn't say it's a slam dunk, but it's definitely, you know, a thing that could be in the mix here. You know, CSU fans hopefully, you know, hope it's later rather than sooner, but keep an eye on that one.
All right, Kev. Tonight's the night. CSU needs to do what to secure the win tonight?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think first off, protect the ball and win the turnover battle. You know, Virginia is always one of the best defensive teams in the nation. That's the case again tonight. So CSU, A, protects the ball. That helps, you know, create more chances. And then B, take it from Virginia every now and then, because if the Rams can get out and run, that gets the game to the pace they want to play at. And then I think another is the bench. CSU is at its best when guys like Jalen Lake, Joe Palmer, Rashawn Bimba provide some punch off the bench. You know, you don't need those guys to all score 20 each or anything. But if those three combine for 15 or something like that, 15 to 18, CSU is going to be in good shape. So have those bench guys be good. And then it's the very obvious one, but Isaiah Stevens, if he, you know, is good and as good as he can be, that obviously puts CSU in a good position. So those are probably, you know, kind of three of my top ones, or three or four of my top ones heading into tonight's game.
All right, Kevin, we really appreciate your time. Kevin Lytle from the Coloradan covers the CSU Rams very closely and suggests you keep an eye out for his work. Kevin, appreciate your time today.
You bet. Thanks for having me on, guys.
No, you got it. There he goes. Kevin Lytle of the Coloradan covers that team closely. And I, you know what? I feel... and he's spot on with everything he said. I don't disagree with everything, anything that Kevin said. But I feel better about CU against Boise State tomorrow night than I do against Virginia.
Do you?
I do. And I'm not predicting a win or a loss. I'm just like my gut. I just feel a little bit uneasy that oftentimes we, you know, we watch these teams closely locally. And, you know, we keep saying, oh, well, Virginia's not that same version of themselves. Yeah. But they're like a 23, 24 win team, you know, out of the ACC. And the competition that they play on a night-to-night basis, it's just different. And Mountain West basketball is awesome. It really is. It's awesome. But there's a different type of athlete that plays in the ACC. And I remember 2-3 years ago, Colorado State had a great season when David Roddy, who went on to play, be a draft pick and plays in the NBA, man, they were so good. Colorado State was so good, and they played a Michigan team that was supposed to be down, just like this Virginia team. And you get out there, and the game starts to take its own shape in the last 20 minutes, and it's like, so I'm rooting for CSU tonight. I will be, and we'll make our predictions later.
Yeah.
But for some of those reasons, I just feel a little bit uneasy.
See, I'm the opposite. I kind of feel good about them.
Okay.
I feel like this is going to come down. It's a nitty-gritty game. It's about defense, but Virginia doesn't have the scores like CSU can have. And if Isaiah Stevens comes out and he plays well.
Yeah, that could change it.
It's the game changer right there, right? Hit a couple threes. Start to change the momentum of the game because Virginia wants to slow it down. I think that CSU can run away with it. I have a great feeling about it. And I think for the Buffs, that's going to be a tough game. That's going to be a tough game just because they've played each other before. A lot of the Boise State players are going to be back. And I know that we weren't in full force when we played them the first time.
Yeah, last year.
Coach Tagg kind of went over that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be a tough game.
Well, something just to keep an eye on. Okay, I got a couple things here just to pass along. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game.
Okay.
All right, I will tell you, I woke up this morning, I had a little breakfast, used the bathroom, and bet the under.
All right.
Okay? And the Rams are a better offensive team than Virginia, but they don't play with great pace. In Division I basketball, there's about 350 teams. The Rams are 270th in tempo. And if there's a weakness for the CSU Rams, it is defending the three ball.
Okay.
They rank 191st nationally in defending the three. And for as bad as Virginia is on offense, they can make threes. So that's just one dynamic I'm keeping an eye on. And I want to squeeze in one more thing before we transition. This is supposed to be a close game. It's like a 2-point spread.
Yeah.
Free throws could matter. And Virginia is one of the worst free throw shooting teams I can remember in college basketball. And I mean that sincerely. They shoot as a team 63.7% for high major Division I basketball. That is putrid.
Mm.
I promise if I go to the Southeast Rec Center in Aurora right now, I'm making more than 63 out of 100 free throws. And they're really bad. So in a game that's supposed to be slower pace, low scoring, and tight, free throws could matter. Just put that in your back pocket.
Ooh, you're throwing out a little nugget.
Just a little nugget.
I like it.
All right. It's a Hot Take Tuesday presented by Papa Murphy's. I have a hot take about what we're in store for in the next 72 hours. We'll bounce some takes off each other coming up next.